Blog Talk Radio.
Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. Truly, I am so excited that you joined me on today, and I have another glorious lesson that I know without a shadow of a doubt is going to be a tremendous blessing unto you. So why don't you grab your Bible, come right on in, and make yourself right at home. I tell you, you're going to be tremendously blessed on today. My lesson for today is going to be Jesus, the Great I Am. And so as you grab your Bible, come on in and just let us commune together in and through the wonderful word of the Lord. And so today's lesson is Jesus, the Great I Am, from the book of John. And my focus is centered around Jesus' ministry in Jerusalem of the revelation of himself and his relationship with his Father. And so we're going to take a closer look at that. And our scripture reference that we're going to look at today is going to be found over in John chapter number 7, verses 1 through 10 and verse 39, and then also John 10 and 30. And let's look at John 7, verses 1 through 10. And it reads on this line, "After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of Tabernacle was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go in Judea, that thy disciple also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hated, because I testify of it, and that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up into the feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these things words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up into the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Also verse 39 reads, But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive the Holy Ghost, was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And then John 10 and 30 said, I and my Father are one. Let's take a look at this lesson on today. Israel celebrated the Feast of Tabernacle for 7 days from the 15th to the 21st of Tari, the seventh month, and the eighth day of the Holy Convocation with the appropriate sacrifice following this feast. The feast was a great time of rejoicing for the Israelites. During the celebration, they lived in huts and booths or made of cloth in contemporary commemoration of their forefathers, living in temporary dwelling during the wilderness wandering. As Israel entered into the celebration with remembrance of where God had brought them, great excitement filled the city of Jerusalem. Likewise, excitement filled our hearts when we remember from whence God has brought us. Now let's take a look at the Feast of the Tabernacle. Now, Jesus delayed himself going to Jerusalem. Jesus walked through Galilee knowing that the Jews hated him and were ready to kill him if they would find a way to do so, and with the understanding that his time suffer was not yet come. He lingered behind, and you'll see that over in John chapter 7, verse number 6. Now, during this time, he continued to minister in Galilee while the chief priests were scheming his death. Jesus sent his disciples on ahead to the feast. Go ye up into the feast. I go not up yet into the feast, for my time is not yet full come. John 7 and 8. Now, when the disciple had gone, he soon followed. Let's look further. Jesus went to Jerusalem, and you'll find that over in John 7 and 10. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Now, when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, the scribes and the Pharisees and the rulers were already attempting to locate him. Evidently, he was one of the main topics of their conversation, with some saying that he was a good man and other possibly shrugging their shoulder and repeating the priest with criticism. He deceived the people over in John 7 and 12. Now, fearing the Jews, however, it seemed no one was willing to speak openly about this man called Jesus. Now, Jesus celebrated at the feast. Now, knowing what was in the mind of the people, Jesus made his way to the temple and openly taught in the public setting. The Jewish people who were in the temple were astonished at his knowledge of both the scriptures and the tradition that they clave to so closely. They knew that he could have learned this kind of knowledge only in the Jewish school that the priests had attended. They thought that they were the only one privy to such, and yet they heard Jesus speak with full understanding the scriptures. Now, in his discourse that day, Jesus declared, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me," John 6, 7, and 16. He further confounded their thinking when he proclaimed, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." John 7, verses 17 through 18. Now, let's look at Moses and Jesus. Now, at this point in his message, Jesus referred to Moses as the one who gave the law. He then quickly pointed out that they were not keeping the law of Moses. The scribes and the Pharisees had told the multitude that Jesus was a deceiver and that he did not keep the law of Moses. They based their assumption on the fact that Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath. Because he performed this miracle on the Sabbath, they proclaimed that he was a false prophet. They thought that he should die because his blatant violation of Moses' law. However, Jesus asked them, "Moses therefore gave you unto you circumcision, not because it was of Moses, but of the fathers. And yet on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the seventh day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." That's John chapter 7, verse 22 through verse number 24. Now let's look at Jesus, the Messiah. Evidently, some of the people who were listening to the Jews speak began to realize that he was the one whom the leaders were plotting to put to death. Someone was brave enough to speak up and say, "Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?" John 7 and 26. The ruler, priest, and the Pharisee were the declared enemies of Christ, and the people who lived in the city of Jerusalem were aware of their thinking. Unaware of the ruler's plot to take Jesus' life, the many people who had now come to Jerusalem from around the area to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles listened attentively to his word. Now, Jesus took the opportunity to declare his identity. Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come to of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not, but I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. John 7, verses 28 through 29. Now, further, there was an attempted arrest of Jesus. And at this point, there was an attempt to arrest Jesus. However, no man laid hand on him because his hour was not yet come. And you'll see that over in John 7, verse 30. Now, Jesus, the living water, let's further look. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. John 7, verses 37 to 38. Jesus introduced a very important subject to the people, living water. He delivered that and declared that he was the source of this water, and that if anyone could just come to him, they could partake. And Jesus' statement regarding living water actually referred to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which he had not yet given. Many of the interested hearers received this as a promise and declared that this with certainty that Jesus was a prophet. Some of them openly declared, this is the Christ. Now, let's look further at the high level of even unbelief in the midst of the manifestation of Christ, the Messiah. Now, although some people evidently believe, many of them questioned what Jesus had declared. Some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Have not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was, John 7, verses 41 to 42. Now, this caused a great division among the people, and some were ready to arrest him immediately. Whenever Jesus declared who he is, it is common for those who question his identity and his authority to be present. Indeed, skeptics, those who sit in the seat of scornful, are in every crowd. The word of God reminded us that, and they sent him unto certain of the Pharisees and unto Herodians to catch him in his words. And you see that coming out of Mark chapter 12, verses 13. Now, as we look further, let's take another look at another aspect of Christ, the forgiving Christ. And the fact of a woman's, her case and what was going on during that time over in John 8 and 3, the scripture read, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in idolatry when they had set her in the midst. Now, Jesus has arisen early and went to the Mount of Olives where he apparently spent quality time in prayer. It was still early in the morning when he entered into the temple of to minister to the people. The scripture declared that the people came to him upon whom he sat down and began to teach. And as Jesus was teaching, the scribes and the Pharisees interrupted the session with their sudden arrival. It soon became apparent that they were not alone, for they had found a woman caught in the act of idolatry. History claimed that idolatry was so common at that time that the religious leaders were no longer enforcing the particular part of Moses' law dealing with this sin. Now, the men who condemned her, these men were scholars of the law of Moses, and they knew that it's the command death for this sin. They brought the woman to Jesus only to tempt him, to show how he would respond to this situation. They chose to use the circumstances to see if they could trip Jesus as he responded to the law. Jesus, however, did not fall into their trap. Instead, he chose to scoop to the ground, and using his finger, he began to write in the sand. Scriptures does reveal what he wrote. But they evidently continued demanding the law of Moses to fulfill while he focused only on his writing. Now, then Jesus stood up and made a prominent statement. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her, John 8:7. Then he immediately scooped back to the ground and continued writing. And suddenly the scribes and the Pharisee own conscience begin convicting them of what they were doing, beginning with the eldest to the youngest. They begin leaving the scene. Now, Jesus stood up and he looked around and he noticed that all those who tempted him in his judgment with the woman had left immediately the area. And perhaps the woman was sobbing and expecting to receive full punishment for the law. But the master then spoke directly to her. Woman, where are those thine accuser? Have no man condemned thee? And she looked around, and surely the woman was surprised that the scribes and the Pharisee, who a short time earlier had been so judgmental of her by demanding her death, were no longer present. She responded to the question by declaring, no man, Lord. And then Jesus said one of the most awesome declaration in all scriptures. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. John 8:11. Now let's look at how the Father is revealed as the light of the world and then as the I am. After the incident, the scribes and the Pharisee and the woman, Jesus seized the opportunity to introduce another truth. He had recently presented the truth about living water that would sanctify and satisfy, and now he boldly declared, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life, John 8:12. Now, light penetrates darkness. When one walks into a dark room at night and turns on the light switch, darkness flee. And when we allow Jesus Christ, who is light, to enter our lives, darkness must flee. Paul declared that the church at Ephesus, for ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:8. Now darkness covers and hides, whereas light reveals. Therefore the world would witness the revealed light of the world in our lives. Jesus himself proclaimed, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Now let's look at Jesus being revealed as the I am. Now Jesus continued to divulge more information to his listeners that pertained to his deity. He wanted them to know who he was, John 8:14-18. His statement regarding his oneness with the Father surely crossed their theology, and they asked a very reasonable question, where is thy Father? And Jesus took this opportunity to explain, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye have known me, ye shall have known my Father also. John 8:18. Jesus while he was still in the temple teaching, chose to further reveal truth that had been hidden from them. John 8:21-32. And let's take a moment and just recognize that what is being is transpiring is that Jesus is revealing hidden truth and mystery that have been hidden for the appointed time. And Jesus is on the scene revealing unto them his identity as well as fulfilling that was promised, and the promise that was to become was being fulfilled right before their eyes. Now let's look at further as he began to reveal about the children of Abraham. Now, as Jesus further taught the crowd, he continued to mesmerize them with revelations. The Jews declared that Abraham was their father, and Jesus took the statement and said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that have told you the truth, which I have heard of God, and did not Abraham ye do the deeds of your father? John 8, verses 39 to 41. Now the Jews declared that they had one father, even God. But Jesus responded that he was really the father. See John 8, verses 42 to 47. They responded by saying that Jesus surely has a devil. But Jesus replied, I have not a devil, but I honor my father, and ye do dishonor me. They could not understand how he could declare that if a person would keep his saying, he should never taste death. While it is of the utmost importance, the Jews could not figure out Jesus' identity. They wondered how he could not yet be 50 years old and yet say that he had seen Abraham. Although it did not immediately clear up their thinking, Jesus' answer left them no doubt about his identity. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. You'll see that over in John chapter 8, verses number 58. Now, let's look at the fundamental of light. Now, Jesus brought the light. At creation, God spoke natural light into existence. You'll see that over in Genesis 1 and 3. Centuries later, Jesus declared that he was the light of the world. However, he was referring to the impartation of the spiritual light into the hearts of the mankind. Next, the man blind from birth. Jesus descended the steps of the temple, and he met a beggar who had been blind from birth. Perhaps this was the man's station that he attended every day to beg for alms. Now, let's look at the innocent question and the ignorant question. Jesus' disciple also noticed this man and posed a straightforward question to him regarding the man's condition. Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? John 9 and 2. They probably were reaching back to the Old Testament principle that declared that God would visit the sins of the father upon their children. You'll see that over in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5. However, this question did not catch Jesus off guard. Let's look further. Jesus answered, neither have this man sinned nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifested in him. I must work the work of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 9, verses 3 to 5. God sometimes provides no reason for the events that happen in the individual life. However, Jesus told his disciples that the work of God would be manifested through this blind man. They should have understood that Jesus was really saying, get ready to see the miracle. Now let's look at further. The way of mankind differed greatly from the ways of God. The word of God declared, for as heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55 and 9. What Jesus was about to do would not make any sense to the mind of the carnal person. He mixed some spittle with clay and formed a small amount of mud. And we should remember that when God first created mankind, he fashioned him from the dust of the earth and then breathed into him the breath of life. It is amazing what God can do with little mud. He was now about to display his creative power all over again. Now, as the disciples stood in awe and watched the action of Jesus, this interesting turn of events also must have been surprised the blind man. Having heard that Jesus was a healer, a miracle worker, he probably was willing to try desperate measures to receive his sight. After Jesus mixed the spittle and the clay together, he placed the mud on his eye socket. Now, when Jesus finished placing the mud on the man's eye, he gave him a simple instruction for the miracle. Go wash. Now the blind man then, making his way carefully towards the Pool of Siloam, perhaps with each step he took towards the pool, he thought this was the day to receive his sight. Now, upon arriving at the water edge, he gathered water and carefully washed his eyes, and he began to notice light, then object, and then suddenly he realized for the first time in his entire life he could see. The scripture declared, he went his way, therefore, and washed and was seeing. And the new world had just opened up to him because of his new sight. How blessed and exciting he must have been to have received his sight on that day. Now let's look how things progress. Now the crowd and the neighbors who have seen this man many times before knew that this man was blind. Now they saw him walking unhindered by blindness and asked themselves, is this man he that sat in bed? And the answer is most interesting. Some declare openly that he, while others was a little more cautious by declaring that this must be someone like him. As the blind man heard the discussion, he interjected to their state amazement, I am he. In an answer to their question regarding how this had happened, he replied, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the Pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and I received sight. They immediately wanted to know where this Jesus was, to which the man responded that he did not know. These people brought the former blind man to the Pharisee, who was evidently upset because this miracle had taken place on the Sabbath day. The Pharisee asked the man how it happened that he had received this sight. The man was happy to reply, he put clay upon this eye and I wash and do see. Some of the Pharisees did not like what they had heard, and they took steps to discredit Jesus. They declared that this man, Jesus, could not be of God because he did not keep the Sabbath. Others began questioning how a man who is a sinner could perform such a miracle. And as the scripture confirmed, the whole situation was causing a great controversy. The Pharisee continued to question the former blind man to the identity of the one who performed this miracle. And he only answer was, he is a prophet. Now, the Jews still did not believe the former blind man. In fact, they did not even believe until they talked with his parents and asked him straight out whether this was his son. And his parents responded cautiously to the Jews, for they feared them, and they knew that the Jews had agreed to deny access to the synagogue to anyone who confessed that Jesus was the Christ. Now, they called the man who had been blind, and almost in mockery, they encouraged him to praise God. Then they declared that Jesus was a sinner, to which the former blind man had responded. Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now the Pharisee was still inquisitive as to what had happened and asked what Jesus had done to the blind man to open their eyes. And he answered, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be the disciple? This caused the Pharisee to be angry, and they accused the former blind man of being a disciple of Jesus, whereas they were disciples of Moses. They reiterated that God had spoken to Moses, but as for this man called Jesus, they just did not know from whence he had come. Now, the former blind man said, why? Herein is a miraculous thing that you did not know from whence he is, and yet he have opened my eyes, John 9:30. Now, let us look further, because Jesus revealed the light. Jesus found this man whom he had recently healed and asked him the question, dost thou believe on the Son of God? It is quite likely that the man did not know that it was Jesus speaking to him. He had never seen Jesus before, and now he could see and did not recognize him. It was with sincerity that the man asked Jesus, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" John 9:36. When Jesus answered, he suddenly realized that the one who had revealed him was now standing before him. When he understood who this man was, he declared, "Lord, I believe." And he was worshiped him, began to worship Jesus. Now Jesus declared, "For judgment I was come into this world, that they which see not may see, and they that which see might be made blind." John 9:39. Now, upon hearing this, the Pharisee began questioning as to whether that they were blind. Jesus declared to them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." Now, many today are plagued with the same symptoms. They have natural eyesight, yet they are spiritually blind to the beautiful things of God. Being blind in the natural is a challenge, but to be blind spiritually causes one to lose the joy of not only this life, but also the eternal life to come. Now let's look at the faithful shepherd. Now the good shepherd and the sheep, God, used various symbols to identify himself, including the brazen serpent, the manna, the rock, the pillar of fire. Jesus used figures of the shepherd and the door for the very same purpose. In the 10th chapter of John, he referred to himself as the good shepherd, and we, his people, are his sheep. When Jesus spoke this parable, the hearers did not comprehend the meaning of what he said, so he attempted to explain it with more detail. First, Jesus established that he was the door, which represent access or entrance into another room. Jesus declared that he was the access to the fold, emphasizing how important the door is. He further declared that if people take advantage of this door, they will receive abundant life. As a good shepherd, he also loved and cared for his sheep. Further, when they heard the claim of Jesus, they rose up in opposition and picked up stones to kill him. And Jesus declared that he had shown them many good works and questioned their reason for stoning him. Now the Jews rejected him, and they said it was because of his blasphemy. They rejected, however, and was not a denial of the miracle. Rather, it was a denial of his identity. They did not believe that he was in the incarnate God. Because they could not understand his deity, they rejected him. And he is still yet being rejected even now. But let us look further, that we must recognize that Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. Now let's look further as we close out on this wonderful lesson. The ministry of Jesus greatly influenced the known world. He declared that he was the source of the living water. He demonstrated that he was the savior of mercy and compassion and forgiveness by forgiving the woman who was caught in adultery. He also declared that he was the light of the world, and he proved that he was the healer by delivering the blind man from his blindness. And he further maintained that he was the good shepherd and the door through which one must enter to find eternal life. Moreover, he proclaimed his identity as God manifested in the flesh. I and my Father are one. And you'll find that over in John chapter number 10 and verse number 30. And so, child of God, Jesus, he is the great I am. In John chapter number 10 and verse number 30 says, I and my Father are one. Don't struggle with the identity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but ask God to give you greater understanding and revelation of who Jesus is. I know, child of God, without a shadow of a doubt, that God would give you revelation and understanding, even as Paul prayed that the inner man would be strengthened and that God would give you revelation of his will and who he is. I pray that God will give you revelation. And even if you that already have revelation of who Jesus is, will allow this refreshing word find place down in your soul as we forever and forever lift up Jesus, because the scripture said, if I will be lifted up upon above this earth, I will draw all men unto me. And let us, as the children of God, as never before, lift up our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in this earthly realm, that he may draw all men unto himself. And so, child of God, I am so glad that you've joined me on today. May the great I am, who is revealed in the flesh, Jesus Christ, continue to rest, rule, and abide henceforth forevermore in your life. And as you can endeavor to be the man and woman of God that God called you out to be as never before, may the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow, is my prayer. And until we meet again, as I always will say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you're just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. And may your life be tremendously blessed as you ask of him and watch him bless you. Until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to be with you at no sorrow. God bless you now. Bye-bye.